John Kurtz, Mitch Fortner back with you on the game. We did end up doing a live show today. High school basketball canceled. K-State game still on for 3:30 tomorrow per a release put out by the Wildcats athletic department earlier today. 10 minutes away from You Can't Be Serious to finish off the show. I've got a did you know for you here, Mitch, that concerns K-State and Baylor tomorrow.
Okay.
Did you know that K-State has beaten three straight number one teams that have entered Bramlage Coliseum?
I do know that.
You did know that?
I did.
Did you read the media release? How'd you know this?
Just have it in my head.
You're just that good of a fan, huh?
Yeah.
Can you name me the three teams that they beat?
Sure.
That's the second part of the question.
Should I like them in chronological order or reverse order?
Chronological order.
Texas, KU, Oklahoma.
You looked at the media notes.
Dude.
I do not believe this for a second.
I don't even want to get into this.
Okay. You've done this to me before when you were
calling me a liar.
No, you have pulled this
right to my face.
You have pulled this jig on me before, my friend. I don't remember what that was. Remember what I'm referencing? There was one time where you were supposed to have not looked at something and you wound up getting all the answers right.
And I wasn't lying then either.
No, you were lying then. You admitted it too. This has happened before. This has happened before. I will not be fooled again. Either way. That is the impressive stat.
Those were pretty big games in K-State basketball history within the last decade. So, I mean, things like that you remember.
They were. I mean, last year, notwithstanding, really, it was a fun win. And you thought at the time it had a lot of significance to get you back on the tournament bubble. But then K-State lost five of their next six. So it didn't really matter all that much. The Kansas game, which was the most recent besides Oklahoma, was back in 2011. So the 10-11 season, Jacob Pullin, Curtis Kelly's senior year, preseason top five, almost drop out of the tournament picture for a while there, then come back and earn a five seed. The Kansas game was the turnaround. That was the line in the sand for that year. And I'm going to tell a couple of stories here based on these games. That's why I'm not only excited, just the mere fact K-State's beaten three straight number one teams. You'd think that bodes well for having number one in the building tomorrow. But the fact that I get to go back to my college days a little bit here. But you know, Kansas 2011, that was right after K-State had gone to Colorado. And Rodney Magruder hit that game-winning shot, so we thought, that wound up being like a tenth of a second too late, and they wiped it off the board. That was like the dagger where you thought, man, this team is done. They're not going to make the tournament in Jacob Pullin's senior year. You know, I mean, Jacob Pullin had the "I'm not going to play in the NIT" quote that year. So I thought there was no way. It was a quick turnaround. That game was Saturday night in Colorado, in Boulder. And then they turned around and had to play Big Monday against number one Kansas. No way that I thought they were going to win that game. And that's my senior year of college at K-State. And I remember, I mean, I was so bought in to K-State hoops at that point in time. Like, we sat on the front row every single game for like a 2-3 year span because I wanted to cherish and soak up every moment of K-State having a good basketball team because of how bad they had been growing up in Kansas City and having to deal with the professional basketball team of Kansas City, the Kansas Jayhawks, and all the propaganda that I was inundated with around me for that. So, you know, as into it as I was, I had just been broken by that season. Broken. And I almost did not go. I legitimately remember thinking about not going. I did not go line up early. I came in fairly late, didn't get great seats, but I was glad I went, obviously, because K-State wound up winning that game. And that was the second to last time that K-State had knocked off a number one team in Bramlage because they've beaten three straight.
Have you ever skipped out on a game because of maybe the past history of that season?
No. Another one that I came very close to skipping was in football, I think people will find much more understandable, the 2008 Nebraska game. Ron Prince's last home game, if I recall correctly. They wore the purple pants. They came out in the purple top, purple pants. There was a ton of Nebraska fans in the stadium. Courtney Herndon had like a pick six early in the game. I don't know how I still remember that. Gave you a little sliver of hope, and then Nebraska wound up just drilling K-State the rest of that game. And I did leave that one early. So that is one where I did leave early because I just had it. I had had enough.
That was second before last. Iowa State was the last home game.
Okay, there you go. Second to last home game. After that one, I had had enough, and I left in like the third quarter.
56-28 was the final of that game.
That's probably the closest thing that I've got to that. I'm just, like, I'm bouncing all over the place telling stories here, so I'm going to go ahead and tell this one too. The game before that Kansas game in 2011, when they did lose in Boulder, was watching that with two of my best friends in the whole world that are as diehard of K-State fans as I am, and we're watching it at one of their houses, just a friend's house. I believe he was living, like, in the upper part of the house. The basement was people that he didn't know, and there was a projector set up down there in the basement. We're upstairs. When Ronnie Magruder hits the shot, we just go nuts, start losing our minds, jumping around, screaming. It took us, like, 5 minutes to realize they were even reviewing it, and then we saw that they reversed the call, and we yelled and screamed probably even more after that had happened. Come to find out, we had yelled, stomped around so much, we actually knocked a projector down, and I think broke a projector that was actually in the basement because of all the commotion we had made from that game. So that took a toll, man. That took a toll, and that's why I almost didn't show up in 2011. Now, 2010, the 2009-2010 season, 2010 is when Texas rolled in as the number one team in the country before they had their epic collapse that year. That is the other one that's a part of the three straight number ones K-State's beaten in Bramlage. And that one has a lot of stuff I can remember from the game, too. This is the one I was really referencing when I say it's one of my favorite K-State stories to tell from my days in college. Jason Whitlock was still at the Kansas City Star, and we had, God, what game was it? It had been a couple years before, but he wrote a column after K-State had lost a big home game where everyone got really angry, of course, and there was a lot of booing at the refs and yada, yada. Jason Whitlock wrote a column and called Bramlage the angriest place in college basketball, which, one, was funny, and two, like, kind of embraced it at the time, right? That was when the Octagon of Doom was really coming about. I always enjoyed embracing that moniker, and at some point, we got the idea to put it on a T-shirt. So we got a T-shirt made that had just a silhouette of Jason Whitlock and then had in quotes, the angriest place in college basketball. So at the Texas game, I'm there really early. I got it on the front row, and I'm standing down there, and Jason Whitlock comes walking by, shuffling by, maybe more like it, and we flag him down, get his attention, and I showed him my T-shirt. He legitimately reaches into his wallet, pulls out a 20, hands it to me, and says, triple XL, I'll be here for the Kansas game, I believe was what he said. It was one of the later games. Said, I'll be here for this game. Bring me a triple XL in black. And I did. And he took it. And he has it. He possesses it somewhere. Maybe he threw it out. But at least for a little while, he possessed it. And that genesis of that story was all that Texas game when number one UT came into town.
You ended up paying more than $20 for that shirt, did you not?
Yeah, I think I actually lost the $20.
Oh, my goodness.
I think that's what it was. I lost the $20 at some point in time. I was, like, so excited, I just put it in my pocket or something.
You
like
nerd.
Well, yeah, I was a nerd, and that's also just a snapshot of where I was at in, like, my career and life that I was really starstruck by Jason Whitlock. But I just thought it was hilarious that all that worked out the way it did. Yeah, I lost the $20, had to go, I think, just buy the shirt with my own money, but I gave it to him. Made for a good story.
He probably gave you the $20 because he probably thought you bought it somewhere. Like, it was on a rack somewhere.
No, I mean, I think he knew. I think he understood that, like, we had it custom made. It didn't cost much more than $20. It may have been, like, $25. It wasn't too much more than that. I think he just figured, what the heck? I've got a lot. I'm sure he was making enough that $20 wasn't really anything to him. So, if he didn't actually get a shirt, whatever. But if he did, it'd be great. And he sure did.
So, okay. So, when he came back then, the return game for Jason Whitlock, how did you find him? How'd you guys meet up again to exchange the T-shirt?
So I believe it was, if I've got my dates correct, I believe it was the Kansas game, which was later in the year, and that was when game day was there and lost the overtime game, the Sherron Collins shot there. I was calling that for student radio, and so I was actually, you know, I had a press pass for that game. So I did just bring it, I think, with my stuff, and then saw him at some point because he was there at the game, walked down to the media seats and gave it to him. That is, I believe, what happened. And then I remember I tweeted about it to him like two, 3 years later or something. He had tweeted something that jogged my memory about it. I tweeted to him, and he tweeted back like a ha ha or something. So it's like, yes, he remembers.
Oh,
he remembers.
Man.
But that's my Jason Whitlock story and what I remember from the 2010 Texas game. Roundabout way of saying K-State's beaten three straight number ones in Bramlage. Why not make it four tomorrow when Baylor rolls in 3:30 for the tip? K-State is confirmed. It's going to stay at 3:30 for the tip time. 1:30 for Powercat game day. That starts pregame coverage, and 2:30 for pregame coverage from the K-State Sports Network. All right, we'll end the show as we do each and every day with You Can't Be Serious coming up next.